I want to talk to you this morning as we continue in this series, Loving God. The most important thing you will ever do in this life is to learn how to receive the love of God in a practical way and respond to that love. Loving God is possible. It is what we're going to do throughout all eternity. It is what you were created for, to love God, but to receive His love. And to receive His love is to be changed, is to be morphed into something better than we've ever hoped or dreamed or imagined. Jesus said that He's come into this earth to give us life. Listen to the way He describes our relationship. He says, I am the gate for the sheep. Isn't that complicated? You need a seminary degree to understand that, don't you? What is a gate? A gate is something that either can let you in or keep you out. Jesus is either going to let you in or, depending on your relationship with Him, keep you out. Now you say, I don't believe that. Then that's your deal. But then you can't say, I accept Jesus without accepting what He said. I'm the gate and I let in the sheep. Now, who are the sheep? That's us, isn't it? Isn't that awful? Think you could get a better animal like an eagle or a German shepherd. You know, sheep. You know, what are sheep known for? Being dumb. Just kind of being dumb, you know. You know what? I qualify on a fairly regular basis. Anybody here ever awaken with a case of the stupids and it lasts all day? Sometimes all week? Jesus says, I'm the gate. I let in the sheep. All others who have come before me are thieves and robbers. Isn't that rude? Isn't that's sweet, nice, blue-eyed, blonde-haired, Brooks Brother-clad Jesus. Sipping tea out of a cup. That doesn't sound very civilized, does it? He says, I'm the real deal. Everything else is a thief and a robber. But true sheep, don't listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in by way of the gate will be saved. They will, get this, they will go in and if you don't go in by the gate, you can't go in. But if you go in by the gate, you can not only go in, but you can go. Isn't that cool? If you go in by the gate, you can go to G-rated movies and R-rated movies. In, out. But if you don't go in by the gate, go to G-rated movies, you're in the deep woods. That makes sense? Me either. I just came to my mind. He says you can go in and out, and here's what you'll find. But when you go in, this will be in and this will be out. In other words, when you're coming in and you're going out, wherever you go, you will find green pastures. Now, what does sheep love more than anything in the whole world? Green pastures. Anybody here love green pastures? Love a good day. Love money in the bank. Love being happy and love being around happy people. Love a career that's on a gravy train and with biscuit wheels. Love, just love life. Everything's great. You feel good. Your weight's down. Your blood pressure's down. Your cholesterol's down. Your attitude's up. Life is good. Your car's working. You got money in the bank and mama's happy. Can I hear an amen? Woo! Isn't that a great day? Jesus is basically saying is that I've come into this world. My purpose is that you might have life and have it to the full. It's an abundance mindset. We serve a God of generous abundance, renewable energy, renewable resources. Look at the little planet we're living on, and it's still sustaining us. Now, are there inequities? Absolutely, but it's not God's inequity. We have enough food to feed everyone on the planet if we all we're loving, generous, gracious people. If we love to give, we love to share, if we lived the life, the J life, the Jesus life, there'd be enough for everyone. Out of Him comes this abundance. But how many of you know people who call themselves Christians? They don't have an abundance mentality. They don't have a joyful spirit. They're not generous. You don't get around them and feel this sense of life and flow, this fluidity, this every day is a good day. Amen? Every day above dirt's a good day. Isn't it? Look at the person next to you and say, every day above dirt is a good day. Go on, I dare you. If you don't, we'll take the offering again. Ah, see, now you're getting real friendly, aren't you? See, your life follows the path of your thoughts, the way you think. Now, I'm not talking about some positive mental attitude detached from God. But God has given you a heart and a mind. And as what flows out of the heart and what is contained in the mind is ultimately created in reality. For example, if you think small, you will be self-absorbed. Some of you are obsessed with what you don't have. You're obsessed with how you've been treated. You've obsessed with the people who have done you wrong. You're obsessing on the fact that you're in an apartment when by this time you wanted to be in a house. You're obsessed that your car isn't quite as good as your buddies that graduated from college. You're obsessed with all these little things about you and what's not quite right about you. And you don't mean to be, but every day it's about you. It's about what you don't have and you haven't gotten. And even the things that you have, you can't enjoy because they're not quite enough. You don't mean to be this way. This is not how I intended it to be. But you are fast becoming a little ball of neuroses and objections. And you don't like it about yourself. How do you change it? You got to change the way you think. Beware. Don't always be wishing for what you don't have. For real life and real living are not related to how rich you are. God's basically saying, if you get your thought right, life like, you can have more of everything else and enjoy it. But if you have more of everything else when you got stinking thinking, you're going to be miserable. I mean, the height of hell on earth is having everything for which to be thankful except the power to be so. So if you think small, you say, well, if I don't think about all these things, who's going to take care of me? That's it, isn't it? That's the question we're here to debate, isn't it? Is the gate big enough for you? Is the shepherd good? And is the shepherd good to you? The second is this, if you think religion, you say, okay, I need to start thinking God think, you know, God thinking. And there's a lot of God thinking that are worse than no God thinking whatsoever. So if you think religion, you will be rigid. And here's the sad thing about religion. Religion looks good on the front end. But as religion says, you're basically screwed up. And most of us know we are. We just don't want to admit it. We marry people we hope are a little bit more messed up than us so we can look better. Right? And when we want to change, we hear people say, you know, boy, if you pray more and do this, here are the things you could, the seven things you do, and get on the good side of God and life will be better. And here's the problem with that, is that it takes you about 2 or 3 years to do those seven things and get through them and realize that you've been lied to because it doesn't work. But here's the problem with religion. Religion always can keep you on the hook because religion says if your life isn't any better than it was, it's your fault. It's not God's fault. It's your fault. If you had more faith and prayed more prayers, if you would stomp out those stupid cigarettes and stop drinking whatever it is you're drinking, that, you know, is illegal. And depending on which church you go to, you can drink more legal beverages than non, you know, depending on what your religion is. And it's always, you're always on the rope. See, Christianity says you cannot live well enough to attract the grace and the love and the mercy of God. It is yours as a gift. But religion says, you know, just cut out the things. Listen to what nice little sweet church Jesus says. Woe to you, teachers and law of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites. Can you believe Jesus will call a person a hypocrite to their face? That's not very Christian. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when he becomes one, you make him twice the son of hell. You are. Whew. That was rude. And sometimes holy rudeness is a good thing. That's just my opinion. But let's say instead of thinking religion, you think about God. The real God, the God of Scripture that's revealed. The God that you see around you that's created this amazing environment in which we live and move and enjoy this great abundance. If you think about God, I think you'll be inspired. I mean, think about how big God is. Think about how good God is. Think about how great God is. There are a lot of bad things going on. There are people starving. There's murder and rape and all that goes with it. There's war. But look at how much is going right. How big this God is to create this world. Jesus said this, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Somebody emailed me this week and said, Dave, last week you said that God is great but limited. How can God do anything, anything be impossible for God and God be limited? God has chosen to limit himself in order to be in a relationship with us. But that's another day and another talk. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. God says, if you go to bed at night and you start quoting scripture, you start thinking about me and calling me, I'll give you dreams instead of nightmares. Think about God and you'll be inspired. Because when you think about God, you think about hope, you think about the future, you think about grace, you think about forgiveness, you think about eternity, you think about life that never ends. If you think about God, you'll think of, and you think about Jesus, you'll think about grace. Grace. There are two sides of God that we see in Christ. Mercy and grace. Mercy is God withholding from us what we deserve, and grace is giving to us what we do not deserve. Listen to this. No matter what happens, always be thankful. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Now, if you are not a follower of Jesus, then you can be cranky, all you want to be. Cuss, spit, complain, whine, moan, be a curmudgeon, get a pipe, get a cane, walk over hunchback, just help yourself. But if you are a follower of Christ, you are commanded to be able to find gratitude and gratefulness in everything. Doesn't mean everything is good. It's the 8:28 life, isn't it? Romans 8:28, for we know that in all things God is at work. Are all things good? No. But is God in all things working them together for the good of those who love him? Love him. Is that true or is it not true? It can't be true and not, or not and true. It is true or it is. Now, if it's true, we ought to live that way, shouldn't we? Theoretically. I mean, I'm not saying we should actually do this. So you want to change your life? Change your perspective. Change the way you think. There are two perspectives. The scarcity mentality. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in what? God. Why? He's the one who so richly provides us with everything for our... Oh, that's awful. Come on. He provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Yes. Apple computers for our enjoyment. iPods for our enjoyment. Cars for our enjoyment. A nice house for our enjoyment. A nice meal with a thick steak for our... Someone to love for our... Kids to raise for our... Yeah. It's a little tougher, wasn't it? And you're right. That's right. God, think of that, for our enjoyment. Are we enjoymenting anything? Number one, you know what the number one fastest growing industry in America today, last year it passed the movie industry in grossing profits? Storage. Storage buildings. Over $17 billion last year. And if you don't believe that's true, try to get a storage unit in this place. You can't find one. You've got to stand in line for them. You know what? We got so much stuff stuffed in our houses, we got to build little houses to stuff that stuff. Because we want more. Stuff don't make us happy, but we have some other kind of, we'd be happy, right? We need, it's just one more thing, one more car, one more, you know, a better version, a better model. And we're miserable. Have you ever seen people driving down the road in some crummy old car? I mean, crummy old car. Crummy old car. And you know it's a PFD. Paid for, right? Paid for vehicle. That's for me. Yes. Coach Fisher calling. He wants me to make the next pick. In fact, we actually did talk this morning and pray about it. So it's gotten that bad now that we've got to get down to prayer. What was I saying? It was like really something important. Thank you, the PFF. I'm serious about this. Now, if you see someone going down the, they got this. If you've seen this cool looking, there's a cool looking BMW. I'm not sure what the number is. There's a cool looking deal. I mean, it's nice. I was in one the other day, and they've got a little TV screen, and they show you a picture of everything you're backing up into. If you guys got that, and I was in another car the other day. Isn't that cool? Anybody have that? Isn't that cool? That's just the coolest thing. I need that. I didn't know I needed it, but now I do. But you have someone going down the road in a BMW or a nice Lexus or something, you know, a nice car. And they look moderately happy. Too happy. But here's what bugs me, is these people going down the street in these crappy old cars, and they got a smile on their face. And you know that they know something you don't know. They don't have a payment. They don't have all this. This car's not a drain. They're not worried about somebody running into it. As a matter of fact, they have this kind of unstated attitude. Hit me. Go ahead. I dare you do any more damage to it than it's already done. Are you that kind of person? You love the gifts of God, but you hold them loosely. You know that His mercy and His goodness has provided everything up to this moment will never run out and never leave you. You have this abundant mentality that every good thing, every good gift comes down from the Father above, and you're not so freaked out. You're not so deep in debt you're going to have to spend the rest of your life climbing out. Maybe you're not living in the biggest house you could or drive the nicest car you could, but you know what? You got cash flow. And when the offering comes around at the gathering, you give as an act of generosity because you can. And some of you don't give at all because you just simply can't. You can't pay your bill. Not because you're a bad person, because you have bought into this idea that life is measured by the abundance of the things that we have. And it's not. A loving relationship with God will leave you filled up, not run down. And an abundance mindset can enjoy a Lexus and a Pinto. It can enjoy a Harley or a Schwinn. It can enjoy the Hilton or I would say Red Roof Inn, but that's going way too far. I mean, I've been around these people who are just, they just don't play the game. Don't you hate it? And they have this kind of smile, and you know, they're loving life and living large and doing great things, but they're just not tied to all the little things. I love this passage out of 2 Corinthians. Let's read it together. In the first service, I had them stand up, and that didn't really go over very well. So, because I'm like you, why? Oh, I don't want to stand up. I'm comfortable. Oh, that's my watch. It just broke. It means we're going to be here a while. My Harley watch, too, man. It sucks. Bad. It's bad. It's not good. Send that back to Milwaukee. Let's read this together. It starts with, it's 2 Corinthians 6 on the back of your outline. And together, for those of you who are new, means all at the same time out loud. Okay? Because I just think, you know, articulating the words really are good. It kind of helps you, you know, feel the sense of it. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as imposters, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always we, poor yet making many, having nothing yet possessing. How do you it's like, shoot me, stick me, throw a rock on me and I'll get up. How do you deal with people like that? Aren't they insane? I mean, you know, that's greatness, isn't it? Wouldn't you have a little bit of that in you? You do if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. That's you. That's who you are. You have this abundance mentality where you want people to love you, but you don't have to. You want people to approve it, but you don't have to. You love to have a nice house and you love to have all the nice things that everyone else has to would love to have, but you don't have to. So that when you have them, you use them rather than worship them. You know what I'm saying? Wouldn't it be cool to be that way? You know, possessing, having nothing, yet possessing everything. Oh, gosh, come on. Help me. I can't see anybody, but are you there? Come on. Wouldn't that be cool? Come on, somebody tell me you remember when you first got married and you had nothing and you were happy. You didn't know how poor you were. You had roaches, but you had love. You know? Wouldn't this be cool? Loving God instead of making me some kind of arrogant, self-righteous know-it-all, make me someone who just has this effervescence, this overflow, this abundance, this generosity. And when I meet people, I'm, you know, my eyes and my mouth and my face says I'm open for business. And what I've got is yours. What I know, I'll share with you here, sit at my table, be my friend, break bread with me. Wouldn't it just be cool? Wouldn't it just to be this generous person? Because you know something. Because your mind isn't stayed on your own sin and failures and past. And you're not religious, but you're into a relationship, a connection with Jesus that says in him you'll always find green pastures, in or out, wherever you go, that his mercy will pursue you, that he loves you. There will be days when you'll be beaten. There'll be days when you'll be praised. There'll be days when you cannot lose. Everything turns to gold. And everything on another day turns to... You say, I don't know what you're talking about. Just wait. life will get to you. I mean, it's the difference. When I was a kid, I had a dog, I had a boxer. And somebody said, did you keep the dog inside? And I said, yes. And he says, I bet you won't ever get another one to keep it inside. I said, no, because they eat up everything. They chew up everything. I thought they just as a pup would chew, but they chew constantly. And so I raised this little dog, a little male boxer, and got his ears clipped, got his tail clipped, and he was gorgeous. He's a big old, good-sized dog. I named him Patty. You know, like a boy named Sue. This is the dog named Patty. And I will never forget one day walking down our neighborhood, and there were, out of this corner house came this little rat. Again, I've already asked for pre-forgiveness. This little dog, this little chihuahua, I'm sure are wonderful dogs. I'm sure they are. And then just came right after Patty, man. Just, you know what Patty did? Nothing. They walk like this and just boom, 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 boom. That dog circled around him underneath his feet. And you know what Patty did? Nothing. Never acknowledged, never stopped, never looked, never broke his gait. You know why? Because Patty told me later, boxers don't pay attention to chihuahuas. Yeah. Metaphorically speaking, if you were to say, like, people could be a chihuahua is a loser with a big bark. But they're toothless. They gum you, but that's all they can do. Woo! You know all the people you better run your life and keep you away from God? They're gumless. They're toothless. I'm just gumming you. It don't hurt that bad. It's not that bad. People can say bad things about you. Let them say it. Just don't let it be true. Amen. Rise above it. Take the higher ground. Realize that your love and your source and your abundance and your supply and your promotion comes from one source and one source only. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came out of heaven and walked through this earth, who faced death, went to hell, cleaned it out, made it a great place for the godless to spend eternity away from those of us who love abundance. And he was victorious over death, and he gives that to us. And the Bible says one day he's coming back, and he's going to bring this world to this abundant consummation. And one of the first things we're going to do in eternity is sit down and have a party at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and there will be steak and chicken and shrimp and scallops and no tofu and no rice cakes. See, here's the abundance mindset. The abundance mindset is a new way of seeing things. My prayer today is that when you walk out of here, you'll just see everything differently. See the sky differently, see the sun differently. That you get up from that seat and you walk out, that you just see people differently. Maybe every weekend before this, you've seen people as people in your way because you're trying to get out. But now maybe you would just stop and linger and talk and get a cup of coffee and just connect. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which you've been called, the riches of his glorious inheritance, the eyes of your heart. Isn't that an interesting phrase? Have you ever something, you come to an understanding and you say, I see, I see. What are you saying? You say, I see, I understand it, I comprehend it. It's a new way. Secondly, abundance mindset is a forward focus. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. You don't perceive it. I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. God says, the harder it is, the better I show up. For some of you say, man, I'm a perfect candidate because it's hard. God says, I'll make a way in the desert. I'll make a road. I'll make wastelands spring forth and bear fruit. And here's the third thing. The abundance mindset is not only a new way of seeing things. It's not only a forward focus. It is a daily discipline. Because the minute I say all these things when I speak before people, when, you know, the next day, those demons are coming. Do you have that? the demons are coming. Yeah, that works for them, but doesn't work for you. See, I believe all of this for you. I mean, absolutely, absolutely without a scintilla of doubt. But when I get in my dark space, I wonder, does God love me? I love this. Because the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Amen. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Now, what else do we need? Loving God every day, absorbing this abundant generosity, being grateful, being glad to be alive. Any day above dirt is a good day. Huh? Look at the person. Any day above dirt is a good day. Come on, I dare you. Any day above dirt is a good day. Yeah, and this is a good day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's say it together. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Let's say it one more time. This is the day the Lord has made. I will come on, one more time. This is the day I will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we just come before you and we rejoice in your goodness. We know that everything has been given to us for our enjoyment. And Father, we want to enjoy you today. We want to enjoy each other. Enjoy this day. Enjoy the benefits. Enjoy the blessing. We want to get outside of ourselves and see that you've given us this mind of abundance. That when we work and what we do, we create abundance. Not to just sustain ourselves, but be able to give away, to be able to be generous and to bless, to be able to provide the needs. You've given us abundance in time to go to that children's home and love on some kids. Abundance of education, to be able to write letters to our soldiers and words of encouragement. You've given us abundance of compassion. Some of you have given us abundance of money and resources. Some you've given abundance of talent and skills to write books and to write music, to be artistic. You've given abundance of business acumen to be able to manage peoples and assets and resources. Father, I pray that you will take this and embellish it by your power and broaden the scope of the influence of these men and women. I pray you will bless them with all of your abundance. I pray as the pastor of this church in this morning, as an anointing and a covering of grace and plenty, I pray that abundance will follow every person. I pray for that person who's struggling with debt, Father, that when they get their heart right with you and get their heart off of worshiping things, that you'll bring abundance in their lives to get out of that debt and to live free and to never get back in it again, and to be a testimony of what it's like to be able to live free and to live below your means, to be able to give and serve and do and go and be everything, because this life is short and it's going to soon be over. And none of us want to look back and say that we have any regrets. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 What a great day. Woo! Go get them. Have a good one.